back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
Oh boy, there's a lot that has happened. You know, I know no one cares about how I'm doing personally, but you know, I'm doing all right. It's Wednesday. We're grinding out the week this week, I think. As we were just saying before we started recording here, Dave, we're both kind of, struggling in our own ways. I wouldn't say struggling, but maybe battling. Obviously, you know, it's midway through the week here. Luckily, we have the back end of the week coming up here for work. Nice weekend, so you know we're getting there. But yeah, I mean, I was trying to think about how to go about this, but and I guess obviously you know you've heard the saying "turn on a dime," but I was thinking "turn" is I know it's not technically a phrase, but turning on a penny, since it's smaller than a dime, obviously, I feel like it has what happened to the Flyers. On and off the ice, I think the more cause for concern is obviously off the ice, but there are causes for concern on the ice as well, with, you know, one kind of maybe bleeding into the other, vice versa. So, you know, we got a lot to unpack in, you know, just last week we're singing the team's praises, and now, you know, there's some things that have not even shaking up the organization and the NHL, really, but also just, you know, shaking up. It's more than a shakeup. It's an earthquake.
There's a whole herd of elephants in the room.
Yeah. But, you know, Dave, we have us being hard-hitting journalists. We have the facts to bring to people. And, you know, we're going to get into a little bit of, I don't want to use the word speculation. I guess we'll get, obviously, we'll give our opinions on how things look, how things could unfold. But I just want to preface the information that we're about to give everyone here with the fact that, you know, it's an ongoing situation. The law is involved, which is crazy. It's sensitive, I guess, but you know, we have some stuff that we found from other sources which we'll credit accordingly, obviously, because you want to credit your sources, especially this day and age.
Yes.
But you know, we got to start off with a pretty heavy topic here surrounding the Flyers, surrounding just really the NHL in general, because it's, you know, multiple players from multiple teams. But Dave, you know, give us the lowdown here, explain the situation as best you can, and then, like I said, we're not going to go tinfoil hat on everyone here, because I think, again, it's, you know, it's obviously a very evolutionary situation, and it's a very, you know, fluid, I guess, is a term you could use.
Yeah,
as well.
We're stating things how, like, the facts.
We're just going to bring everyone up to speed on,
to date, currently, right now, as we record at 7:55 p.m. on January 24th, 2024. We could record this podcast tonight, give our thoughts, and then 2 hours later tonight when we're done recording, new stuff could come out that could completely make our recording tonight irrelevant. So yes, we're reporting in the now.
Yeah.
So but I think with grain of salt, you know, what we're saying now could change the future, but I don't think it's going to.
Like I said too, like we're just gonna kind of give everyone the timeline of events here, all that type of stuff, get you caught up, and then, you know, just kind of give our thoughts. And, you know, people can speculate all they want. Obviously, you know, there's differing opinions, all that jazz that comes along with these things. And it's very complex. And, you know, obviously everyone has a soapbox nowadays with social media. So, but without further ado, Dave, you know, obviously some big news has come out surrounding, you know, the Flyers, well, one particular Flyer, and also, you know, again, a couple other players in the NHL and just Hockey Canada in general. Mm-hmm. You know, unless you live under a rock, you pretty much know what's the, you know, the gist of the situation. Mm-hmm. Dave, you know, just walk us through what's been going down these past couple days or so.
So this actually stems back a couple years. The incident itself happened in 2018 at the World Juniors Championship in London, Ontario. We first heard about this news story breaking during the summer of 2022, in which it was reported by the plaintiff in – the plaintiff's the right word? Defendant?
I guess. Victim?
Yeah. Well, the victim. The victim, you know, through her lawyers, went in and said that she was gang raped by members of the 2018 Canada National World Juniors team. And, of course, there's a lot of high-end players now playing in the National Hockey League that were on that team. Kale McCarr, Carter Hart, just probably the two biggest names to be to state. Kale McCarr wasn't even at the tournament yet when this happened, so he has been fully, fully cleared. At the time when all this news first broke, Hart's lawyer came out and said Hart, sorry, fully participated in the incident. He has been cleared of any wrongdoing by the London police. So Flyers fans are like, okay, cool. Our boy wasn't involved. Mm-hmm. More and more has come out slowly but surely since then. This has been an ongoing investigation that, you guessed it, Rick Westhead, the reporter who's big in the hockey community, who helped break the Kyle Beach story, has been on top of this. And it's been an evolving situation with Hockey Canada and the London Police. The London Police Department in Ontario is saying earlier this year, we have a list of names who was involved, but we're not going to release it just yet. So that led to wild hearsay on the social media engine online. Fast forward to, you know, this weekend, you're hearing more rumblings about this scenario going on. Like, maybe it's heating up again. Things are about to drop. And of course, it added more fuel to the fire before this season, when a certain player on the Flyers removed all references of the team from his social media. Yesterday afternoon, then, yesterday was Tuesday afternoon because it's Wednesday. Yep. Out of nowhere, the Flyers released a statement saying that Carter Hart has requested and been granted an indefinite leave of absence, citing personal reasons. The club will have no further comment at this time. And that came from general manager Danny Briere. Just this past weekend, and the reason why this raised some eyebrows is because just this past weekend, Dylan Dubé, who was on this same 2018 World Juniors team of the Calgary Flames, was also put on an indefinite leave of absence from the Calgary Flames, citing mental health reasons. So that led to the rumor train getting its wheels going and everyone freaking out. Then this morning, Rick Westhead drops a pretty big bomb on the hockey world, and he's on it from the Globe and Mail. So this is from Rick Westhead, R. Westhead on Twitter.com, breaking: five members of the 2018 World Junior Hockey Team have been told to surrender to London, Ontario police to face charges of sexual assault, the Globe and Mail reports, citing unnamed sources. The Globe reports the players, who have not been charged yet, have been given a set period of time to present themselves at London Police headquarters. So once that tweet is dropped by Rick Westhead and the Globe and Mail, pretty much all hockey Twitter becomes one big massive shit show. And then as the morning progressed, three other players took indefinite leave of absences from their team. One being Alex Formanton, who's playing over in the Swiss on the Swiss League, who the Ottawa Senators still own his rights to. He's just not playing for them. And then Ryan McLeod and Cal Foote of the New Jersey Devils. So while we can't speculate right now on why we can't go, oh, they're guilty, skewer them right now here in this moment, things are not looking good because there's five pro hockey players who are on indefinite leaves of absences from their respective clubs for essentially personal reasons. And there's five unnamed John Does who have been told to report to London, Ontario, Canada, to the police department to be charged for sexual assault. So like I said before the podcast, Mastro, kind of the way things are looking right now, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, pretty sure it's a freaking duck. And now we just need to see how things play out from here. The Flyers are now, from a team standpoint, which is the least important part, the most important part of this is that the victim gets justice for what happened to her. And I will, first and foremost, if any of this is true and these players are proven guilty, every single one of them needs to be punished to the fullest extent of the Canadian law, and they need to be banned from ever playing in the National Hockey League for the rest of their lives. It's jail time, and you're done. You're no longer a pro athlete in North America. And it's incredibly disappointing. We're not, I have personal thoughts on Carter Hart being involved, but we're not going to get there just yet, because technically, for all we know, there's another side of this. If he wasn't involved, he could be going there. If he's not one of these, since there's five and five, but we don't know who the five are, for all we know, he could be taking time off to go to London, Ontario to be a key witness in this, because he was on the team. He could have witnessed what happened. So we don't know what happened. It's just right now, it doesn't look good. There's five players on leave. Five players have been told to report to face charges for sexual assault. So if those five are responsible, sayonara, see ya. I hope you rot in a jail cell the rest of your life. If they can do something, if any of those players are witnesses, they can help bring the five to justice who did this, good on them. Resume your career when you're done with the trial. But that's where things stand right now. I know Flyers Twitter has taken this news, and with the way the Flyers have been, like literally since they last won their Stanley Cup, a lot of fans are feeling cursed because a lot of fans are assuming that Carter Hart is guilty. I think we need to remind everyone that, you know, there is a little thing called innocent until proven guilty in North America. And while it's easy to jump down the throats and go, screw him, he's guilty, he did this, F him, it's unfair to do that right now and in the present moment. But I think what we can both agree on is that we do hope whoever was involved is fully punished and the victim gets her justice.
Yeah, I think we can definitely agree on that. And obviously, you know, there's a lot to say on all of this. I think the most important thing, too, is, again, you know, with all these reports that come out and all the information that has come out recently, there is obviously going to be a ton of speculation. And that's all it is at this point. And I agree that, like you said, Dave, you know, if where there's smoke, there's fire. But I'm just one of those people where, again, you know, I don't mean this to sound that whole, you know, we live in a society thing, but like the way that things are nowadays, especially with, you know, how quickly people do jump to unsubstantiated conclusions is, you know, it's guilty until proven innocent rather than the other way around, which is obviously, you know, what it should be, innocent until proven guilty. So I think that, again, it doesn't excuse what these players may have done. And again, like you said, if they are guilty, if they're proven guilty, then yeah, you know, obviously punish them. Whatever they need, like whatever the law has to do, that's, you know, that's the law. And obviously, again, what they did was completely,
vile.
Yeah, vile, you know, every sort of ugly word you can think of in the dictionary, it was that. People are obviously welcome to read more into, you know, that type of stuff. You can obviously just Google it. You know, obviously it's been a very large black eye on, you know, Hockey Canada, all the players that may have been involved in this. And, you know, just again, especially this day and age where these things happen and, you know, it's kind of it's, for lack of better terms, a delayed fuse when people, you know, come out, you know, years later and do these types of things. It gets ugly. And I think, again, you know, again, if they are guilty, they should be punished, just, you know, barred from the NHL, all that type of stuff. But I think that's not the bridge that we're at just yet.
Correct.
We could get there, but again, you know, all that's left to do right now until more information does come up is speculate. People's imaginations, people's thoughts, people's opinions are going to run wild. That's fine. You know, everyone's entitled to whatever they want to, you know, say about Hart or about, you know, the other players that have taken leaves of absence, all that type of stuff. But I'm, again, you know, I'm no crime expert or anything like that, but, you know, it's innocent until proven guilty is pretty cut and dry. Yeah, I think, again, the next stage, so to speak, is going to be when the London, Ontario police, I believe they're having a press conference on February 5th.
Yes, as of right now, that is where we are standing.
Yeah.
And that's given the players the allotted time to report for the charges.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, again, you know, that time between now and then is going to just be people trying to dig up as much as they can. But, you know, these players, whether it's Hart, whether it's, you know, the other four guys, again, they could be taking leaves of absence to kind of, and I don't want to use the phrase protect themselves because, like, you know, protect themselves can be, oh, they're trying to, you know, hide from whatever. Or it's like, I use the phrase protect themselves as in, like you said, Dave, participating in this investigation, but also, again, you know, not being guilty of anything, whereas they're just trying to, you know, bring those that are guilty to justice and to get the victim the justice that she deserves for all those, you know, vile acts that were committed to her. But, you know, again, it's obviously a very heavy situation. It's a very, very, you know, it takes all the wind out of the sail, so to speak. And the situation itself is a funny, but the irony of it, especially surrounding the NHL as a league, I mean, the one announcement they made this morning after all this went down was like,
read the room.
Holy hell.
And it wasn't technically even the NHL that made the announcement first. It was the sports group made the announcement themselves, and then the NHL had to add on to that afterwards. So it's like,
yeah.
Screams like the NHL had no idea this other announcement was going to happen today. And the other group maybe should have done a little more research.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's a very, again, you want to, like, you can go back to, again, Hart's leave of absence where Danny Briere had a press conference today, too, where he's like, you know, we're not going to say anything else until more details come out. And then once they do, you know, we'll kind of go from there, which I think is the right thing to do. Because it's like, you want to, obviously, again, if your player is innocent and he's doing his due diligence to prove so or to at least help in the investigation, you're not going to say anything, because then, you know, anything, it's also that whole thing where it's like, you know, anything you say can or will be used against you, something like that. So, you know, I think the best thing to do, I'm obviously no legal expert anyway, but the best thing to do is just say, hey, we're not, like, we acknowledge it, but until more concrete information comes out, we're not saying anything. Because, you know, you don't want to say something that people take in the wrong context or something like that. So I think, again, it's right of everyone to be very tight-lipped now, right now, until, again, there's more actual, like, substantiated evidence or facts that come out about what happened, who's possibly in trouble, all that type of stuff. Because, again, all that's left to do right now is speculate, and until we know more from, you know, Rick Westhead has been incredible in, you know, breaking this news, obviously, you know, as sad and messed up as it's all been. These stories deserve the spotlight and to get, you know, the attention of the justice, all that type of stuff. Because this doesn't just happen in hockey. Obviously, you know, it's happened in other sports as well, a lot, you know, sexual assault, all that type of stuff, and it's terrible. But again, I think we cross bridges when we get to them. I know that's not, like, the perfect terminology to use, but speculate all you want, everyone. But again, you know, and I'm not saying that as I'm like siding with anyone, but you know, I'm of the mind where no one's guilty until you're, you know, there's facts. So
correct. And you know, it's just very, very interesting to me.
No, I mean, again, because common sense, it all lines up. Like,
yeah, and
you have five players that took these leaves of absences, and then they come out with the whole, you know, there's five players that we want to surrender to the law. It's like, oh shit, like, well, you know, why did they, like, the timing is obviously, you know, spot on, but it's hard not to assume. I know that it's hard not to speculate, but again, just trying to be like journalistic in our podcast, you know, it's just a matter of giving people, I'm all for giving the facts as opposed to be like, well, this dude tweeted that this, it's like, all right, but is he a reputable source? Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
we all know social media and news don't mix very well.
They don't?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Matt? I've been doing my whole life wrong.
But again, you know, we can give people the facts, we can give people the timelines, we can give our opinions on, you know, what should happen or what may happen, but we're not saying in any way, shape, or form that, like, you know, anything aside from what we already know and what has already come out is true, or, you know, again, it's an evolving situation and that's it. So, but I guess we have to go into more negativity here, because translating to the on-ice Flyer situation, you know, hasn't been very positive as of late either. The Flyers, obviously, you know, they go on that road trip. They take 6 points out of 6 points against, you know, some pretty good teams. I'm trying to get the schedule up here.
I've got it up here.
But all right, let me just hold on. Do this. The NHL should be investigated for how bad their app is. It's not even loading for me right now, so that's good.
I mean, yeah, I've got it up here for you. So, I mean, they went on that road trip, as we discussed last week. You know, we were riding pretty high on our coattails last Wednesday evening when we recorded our podcast. And then they go into last Thursday night, and the Flyers completely destroyed the Dallas Stars. Yeah. One of the best teams in the league in the Western Conference, a Stanley Cup favorite. The Flyers withheld the Stars to one shot halfway through the game, and they won 5-1. And vibes, you and I were texting during and after. I think that's the highest the vibes have been all year long. There were reports the Flyers were playing the Squirtle saxophone song out of the locker room, blaring it and having a good old time. Yeah. And we were like all in. I posted the Shorzy gif of this team will never lose again, calling the Flyers a wagon. And those vibes were short lived.
Yeah, seriously.
Going into this weekend and going to where we are right now, the Flyers are in the midst of a 3-game losing streak. They lose Saturday 7-4 to the Colorado Avalanche. They lose Sunday 5-3 to the Ottawa Senators, and they lose last night 6-3 to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I did not get a lot of chance to watch a lot of these games this weekend because I was away celebrating Jason Colley's wedding. Not a big deal. Congratulations, buddy. Hope you're enjoying your honeymoon in St. Lucia. And Jason, of course, being a Colorado Avalanche fan, we were keeping our tabs on the scores whilst celebrating. You know, it's a 7-4 loss, but for the most part, watching the highlights, reading the reports, the Flyers outplayed the Avalanche. They made the game close at one point, trailing only by one goal, but then Nathan MacKinnon decided to become Nathan MacKinnon and do Nathan MacKinnon things. So that's why they lose that game. In the midst of my napping and recovering, I was watching Sunday's afternoon's game against the Ottawa Senators, a game in which the Flyers were up 2-0 and then 3-2, but were playing like absolute garbage. Mm-hmm. They lose 5-3 after blowing a third period lead, so that's no good. And then last night's kind of a similar situation. A lot of missed calls by the refs. But yet again, the Flyers outplaying Tampa Bay for the majority of the hockey game and doubling them up in shots. But yet they lose 6-3 because, you know, they did score two empty net goals. Mm-hmm. But the Flyers made it close and were the better team. If you look at the deserve to win-o-meter from watching the game, you know, they was probably just too little too late. But at the end of the day, you know, you can play great all you want, but it's still three losses in a row on the board. And the Flyers at one point, which were closing in on the New York Rangers for first in the division, and if they had won on Saturday, could have moved into first. The Rangers now have some separation. And the Flyers sit 5 points back now from first place in the division, and they're kind of, the way they've been playing hasn't been too great.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, riding high 1 minute and coming down to earth the next. This has really been the past couple, you know, past week for the Flyers here. The standout moment of that Dallas game, I think, was Owen Tippett's Spinnerama backhand goal. If that's not the goal of the year in the NHL, I've lost complete faith in this league.
Lawton's penalty shot was also filthy.
I know Hoagie is going to hate me for saying this, but, I mean, the dude does not have very good hands, I don't think.
I mean, he deked Jake Onger out pretty well on that penalty
he
shot.
He does, so. But, like, I feel like that was, like, he kind of went, like, he was like, oh, he, you know, obviously it looked like he went backwards at first, but I don't know if he meant to do that. But, again, they don't ask how, they ask how many. A penalty shot goal in any situation obviously is very exciting. But I definitely, you know, I think Tippett's goal was head and shoulders above better than that.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, you go back to last Thursday, we're riding high. I'm literally, Tippett scores that goal, I screamed on the couch. Like, I'm like, holy hell, you know. I didn't say that, but I said something, you know, worse, in a good way.
Yeah.
A sentence enhancer. But, you know, we're texting. I'm texting all my other friends. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, we're so back. Like, we've never been more back. All that type of stuff. You're just living in the moment. And then, you know, the weekend rolls around. You know it's going to be a tough test against the Colorado Avalanche. They're one of the best teams in the West. Nathan MacKinnon's having a, you know, a heart caliber season as the MVP.
He's the league's top scorer right now.
Yeah. And just didn't look – they looked shaky from the start. They made it a game. You know, they were within one goal. They were down by three at one point, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they were down 3-0.
Yeah.
And at one point it was 5-4 Colorado, and the Flyers had all the momentum.
Yeah. So I mean you can chalk that game up, I think, is a tough break, but the one against Ottawa, they definitely just let that one get away from them, I think. You know, a team like Ottawa, who I think is last in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they're dog shit. They're awful.
Yeah.
They'll be selling at the deadline.
That's gotta be a win. And then again last night, Tampa, I didn't watch too much of this game, mainly caught the last part of the third period. I was grocery shopping just because I was like, I need some food. But, you know, I was listening on the radio when I could, keeping up on my phone and Twitter and such. Flyers didn't play that, you know, that bad. Tampa, again, is obviously a good team, but I think the Flyers had a shot in all three of these games, and they just kind of, you know, shot themselves in the foot by – you know, not playing the hockey that they've been playing against teams like, you know, Dallas or Blues, or they were on a 5-game winning streak. That would have been their first 6-game winning streak if they had beaten. Their first 6-game winning streak if they had beaten Colorado since, I think, 2020.
Yeah.
You know, which is, feels like forever, you know, because obviously we went through a pandemic. But, yeah, I don't know. It's like, again, hockey seasons have their ebbs and flows, but damn, we, you know, between the off-ice stuff and the on-ice stuff, and again, to make it worse, we didn't even say this yet, but Owen Tippett, you know, arguably the Flyers, one of the Flyers' best players this season, went down awkwardly in the game against the
Avalanche.
Did not return. Great, you know, everyone was panicking and kind of saying, well, the Flyers could lose this game, but at least, you know, hopefully Owen Tippett's okay. You get a little bit of good news, was a couple days later. He's listed as day-to-day with a lower body injury.
Well, he's on IR now.
Oh, I was getting to that. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
But, again, to take the wind out of our sails even more with, you know, the Carter Hart news, the losing streak, all that type of stuff, we see that Owen Tippett's placed on injured reserve, and, you know, everything just seems terrible again. So, and I have to say this too, because I just, again, it's ironic, but it's also not, it's not very funny, but I think it's more ironic than anything else. That whole thing of the Flyers being cursed, it's like, it's kind of gotten to me, not like, you know, not in a bad way, but just kind of like noticing these things that have happened. But every jersey I now have could be just completely ruined. Where I won't say ruined, but, you know, just not good anymore. Because, you know, I'll go back to Claude Giroux. He's not on the team anymore. I have the Nolan Patrick Stadium Series / alternate black jersey. He is, you know, technically retired at this point from Flyers, second overall. Just, you know, last season, I buy Carter Hart's reverse retro jersey. He could possibly be, you know, in jail for, you know, for all we know, in the next 3 weeks or so. And I was going to buy an Owen Tippett jersey, and the guy might not even play, like, for all I know. So I had to get that out there, which I thought, again, it's not funny. It's more just like, damn, how does this all happen? But yeah, I mean, it's tough times for the Flyers. Again, off the ice, on the ice, I don't think it's going to get any easier. You know, their next two games are against pretty solid teams, with the Detroit Red Wings tomorrow in Detroit. And then you play, I mean, the somehow always a juggernaut Boston Bruins on Saturday, in a game in which I will be attending for also Mark Recchi's Flyers Hall of Fame induction. Dave, we know how you feel about that.
Doesn't belong in it.
Yeah.
Not a Flyer.
I don't know. But, you know, all of a sudden, like, just the vibes surrounding this team, I think, have changed. And I think, you know, the next thing to do is just them breaking this losing streak. But, you know, it's tougher than it. Like, it's obviously easier said than done, but I don't know. Those good vibes that we had just over a week ago, they're not looking so good right now.
Yeah. I mean, with the way they have been playing, except the Ottawa game, you'd have to think they will play themselves out of this skid. I mean, Detroit is a decent team. The Flyers have beat them already this year and played pretty well against them.
Yeah.
And then we haven't faced Boston yet since the preseason. So that's going to be a pretty big test. But then you just get through these two games. Then you have the All-Star break, which will be key, because it sounds like Owen Tippett is going to – they put him on IR just to rest him. So he gets all this extra rest plus the All-Star break. And then he'll be back once the Flyers return towards the second week of February. So, you know, with the way they're playing, they can just get right back on the horse.
Yep.
And they haven't really given us any reason to not think that. This is their first three-game losing skid since the end of October.
Yeah.
So the fact that the longest losing skid they had, I believe, has been three games this entire season, compared to what we've been going through the past couple of years,
yep,
I'll take it. Now, if they drop the next two games, and if they go into the All-Star break on a five-game losing streak, then I'm going to be a little bit more concerned. But right now, based on how I saw them play just last night against Tampa Bay, I think their strong play will get them some nice results. The big thing now, Matt, real quick, is their goaltending. You know, with Hart being on as a definite leave, I'm great with Sam Harrison, because honestly, he's been playing more of the games lately, and it's been the better goaltender in net for the Flyers over Hart.
Mm-hmm.
But now your backup's Cal Peterson. So now the Flyers have gone from having a 1A, 1B situation to now where there's clearly skill-wise a starting goalie and then a backup goalie. And a backup goalie who hasn't been good in the National Hockey League in a couple of seasons. So that is something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think for me personally, I think they have to win at least one of two of these games the next couple days for me to, like, not – Not that I'm going to hit a panic button or anything like that, but just to kind of, you know, keep that confidence. Because I think, again, the game against Colorado, the game against Tampa last night, the Flyers were in it. If it, I mean, they were obviously in it against Ottawa, but they just kind of, you know, that's one that you can say, like, oh, it's a back, you know, back.
It was a clunker.
Yeah.
Like, Charlie O'Connor asked John Torella, like, this is a clunker game. Would you call it a clunker? And Torts like, yes, that was a clunker. Those happen in a hockey season. Yeah. Every team lays eggs.
Yep. But again, like you said, the fact that the Flyers have been in these games for the most part and have, you know, they've battled, which is great because, again, like we've mentioned countless times before, if this was, you know, one or two seasons ago, they would have went down by a goal and they'd be like, oh, all right. And then they, you know, next thing you know, they're down by four goals.
I mean, so, even last night, Jamie Drysdale scores his first goal of the Origin Black on the power play and it was nasty.
Yeah. So I think, you know, again, even though it's a little bit of a, I don't even want to call it dark, it's a gray time, there's still been, you know, those rays of sunshine, so to speak.
It's like a partly cloudy day right now.
Yeah. More, I'd say, like, you know.
Mostly cloudy, perhaps?
60% cloudy with, like, 40% chance of sun peeking through every so often. But like you said, you know, we've been in the midst of worse.
A lot worse.
Yes. So... and I think, too, like, I wanted to mention this as well. I think it kind of speaks to the fact that the organization itself has been so receptive and so transparent, where, I don't know if you saw this, Dave, the other day, the email that was being sent out to season ticket holders,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, that is, I'm going to just not even sugarcoat it. That's good shit, as I'll say.
I never got that when I was a ticket holder.
Yeah, I didn't either. You know, it's not just the fact that they're not raising prices, which was, you know, the main gist of it, but, you know, Flyers ownership between, you know, Dan Hilferty, Danny Briere, Keith Jones, sent out an email to season ticket holders, basically, you know, in saying, like, we hear you, we appreciate you, we're thankful for you, we know that, you know, there's going to be some ups and downs, there's going to be growing pain, so to speak, but, you know, we're back, and, you know, this new era of Orange isn't going away anytime soon. It's not a flash in the pan. You know, we're rebuilding here for the long haul to be, you know, those Stanley Cup contenders that we knew while we were growing up, becoming Flyers fans that we are today. So I think that gives me, you know, the way that everything has been handled by, you know, whether it's Gauthier, the heart leave of absence, you know, like Briere's pressure today, all that type of stuff, the way that this has all been handled by the organization, I think is such a breath of fresh air.
They're getting ahead of things.
Yes.
They're being proactive and not reactive like they had been.
Yeah. But again, they're giving it to us straight where, you know, if they're going to be like, hey, we're, I don't even know of an example off the top of my head, but again, it's just, it's good that we're in the know, so to speak, as opposed mm-hmm. to, like, oh, well, like, you know, what do you think about this? Or and they're like, ah, we don't care. Like, you know, just sweat it out and speculate. So I just wanted to touch on that, too. But, you know, the Flyers, again, their schedule going into the All-Star break, like you said, Dave, they have the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit tomorrow night at Little Caesars Arena. And then they have the I don't even want to call them the Big Bad Bruins. The Bruins.
But they still are, though.
Yeah, somehow. The Bruins are in town Saturday afternoon at a 12:30 start at the Wells Fargo Center on Saturday.
That's for the ceremony. So it's still probably a 1 p.m. puck drop, but the ceremony will start at 12:30.
And then, obviously, they go into the All-Star break for the first couple of days in February. And then, you know, after that, I'll just give people the lowdown here. They don't even have the February schedule on NHL.com. That's cool.
Mine, like, disconnected and... the NHL.com site is experiencing a lot of traffic right now because of what's been going on, and I heard it's been, like, crashing on and off all night long. So.
All right, well, you know, they go into they have these games, and then they have the All-Star break. So.
Yep, so they got some time off.
Go look up the schedule on your own. anyway. What am I? Oh, yeah. So I guess, you know, Dave, unless you have anything else that you want to mention about the Flyers, you know, the past few days, we can kind of just put that to rest for now and go around the league.
Yeah. That sounds like an excellent idea to me.
Cool. So, again, as I had mentioned before, the NHL, well, I guess mainly this sports group, having trouble reading the room, as they say, in the midst of the sky falling surrounding the Hockey Canada scandal this morning. The Smith Entertainment Group, who is the parent company of the NBA's Utah Jazz, formally requested that the NHL initiate an expansion process for the purpose of bringing an NHL team to the state of Utah.
In Salt Lake City.
Yes. But again, this came out this morning where it said, according to Dan Rosen of the NHL, or NHL.com, sorry, SEG told the league it can welcome an NHL franchise to Salt Lake City as soon as next season using Delta Center, home of the Jazz, the NBA team, as an interim home arena. The group also said in its press release that Ryan Smith, chairman of Smith Entertainment Group and governor of the Utah Jazz, and Ashley Smith have been in discussions with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman since 2022. The NHL then released the following statement following the sports group's request, quote, "The NHL appreciates the interest expressed by Smith Entertainment Group to bring NHL hockey to Utah. During conversations over the course of the past 2 years, we have been impressed by Ryan and Ashley Smith's commitment to their community and their passion and vision for Utah, not only as a hockey market, but as a preeminent sports and entertainment destination. Utah is a promising market, and we look forward to continuing our discussions." NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly confirmed on June 3rd at the Stanley Cup Final that the league was in touch with Smith and his group, and he had expressed his interest in bringing an NHL team to Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. Salt Lake City also has a bid underway to host the 2034 Winter Olympics, and it also hosted the 2002 Olympics in Salt Lake City, which it was the second one in which NHL players were sent to the Olympics. Delta Center itself has also hosted 5 NHL preseason games, and Salt Lake City has previously been home to professional hockey teams in the International Hockey League, with the Utah Grizzlies currently being the East Coast Hockey League affiliate of their big brothers, the Colorado Avalanche. So Dave, obviously, you know, again, tough timing to release a statement like this. But with that aside, just what are your thoughts on the NHL possibly? Well, I also want to – I'll bundle this in quick too. I don't know if you saw this as well, but I think – I don't know how true it was, but I believe Atlanta also had a sports group or some sort of entity also request expansion back to Atlanta. Obviously, you know that the current Winnipeg Jets, who used to be the Arizona Coyotes, were also the Atlanta Thrashers.
Did I get that right? You know, so the current Winnipeg Jets used to be the Atlanta Thrashers.
Yes.
And the current Arizona Coyotes
used to be the Winnipeg Jets. There we go.
The Calgary Flames used to be the Atlanta Flames.
Yeah.
So in regards, real quick, my thoughts on Atlanta, you've already had 2 NHL teams and you failed. I think you've run out of your chances. Because it's clearly pro hockey at the NHL level does not work in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Sorry, not sorry. You had your time. Kick rocks. Salt Lake, an interesting vibe. I was listening to the Steve Dangle podcast today on my commute home from work. No free ads, but I'm a big fan of theirs. And they were discussing this briefly, and Adam Wilde mentioned that he's visited Salt Lake City a couple times, and during the wintertime, it feels like a very wintry city, and it kind of makes sense that they should have a pro hockey team there. Because it's a good, nice sports market in the U.S., so a hockey team, I think, would work very well there. I know this group that is looking to bring an NHL team to Salt Lake almost bought the Arizona Coyotes and almost was going to relocate them to Utah, to Salt Lake, or was going to get involved in some way or fashion in, you know, owning the Coyotes outright and then trying to do some finagling there. Like it's been well reported that they tried to buy Arizona and relocate them. So now they're just saying, hey, you know what? Let's go in and let's do our own thing and bring our own team. It's been now reported that the cost to bring in an expansion team into the National Hockey League is $1 billion. So quite a lot of cash. And there is some concerns that, what is the center's name at?
Delta Center.
Delta Center apparently is a lot like the Barclays Center in Long Island in New York, in Brooklyn, where, yes, it can host National Hockey League games in the meantime, but it's not meant for that, and it has a lot of sight lines that would not be good for NHL hockey ice. And apparently there's some seats in the arena where you wouldn't even be able to see the sheet of ice at all. So it's a temporary place, but it sounds like, I mean, if you're dropping $1 billion to place a bid to get a franchise, you probably have the money lined up to build an arena. Yeah. And it was reported that they are looking to build a new arena in Salt Lake that would eventually be the home of the Jazz and this to-be-determined NHL franchise. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I love expansion. I think it's interesting. You know, keep on growing the game. It would be nice if we could get one or two more Canadian teams. But, you know, Salt Lake, it would be another Western Conference team. So far, all this expansion's out west. You know, you have to keep the conferences aligned. So if you're bringing in another team to the Western Conference, how are you finagling things to get another team out east? Like, yeah. What's going to happen there? So that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't have the brain power to think about who I would move personally right then and there and now to do things like that. But I'm all for it. I would hope if we have this go-around of expansion, Frank Saravalli does not ruin the expansion draft, and we don't know who gets picked hours before the actual draft happens. So Frank, cut it out. But no, I've got no issues with the National Hockey League expanding, and I think it'd be good for the game. And I would welcome some new blood into the National Hockey League.
I like it. I know it's obviously extremely early for this because it's not even, you know, a done deal yet, but if a team were to come to Salt Lake, do you have any names off the top of your head?
No. I mean, you wouldn't name it the Salt Lake Mormons because the
Salt Lake Smiths.
I mean,
Joseph Smith was the Mormon dude.
No, I think you stay far away from that.
Oh yeah,
the Salt There's Lake no husband and wives. Come on down.
Yeah, no alcohol at the arena.
Yeah, the Salt Lake matrimonies. No, I don't know. I don't even know what probably. Do you steal the Grizzly name? Because there's some... You can't do the Avalanche because they already exist. I don't even know what Utah's known for besides the Great Salt Lake. And there's no life in the Salt Lake because it's just so salty. So I don't even know. There's got to be, like, the Utah Jazz.
A cool name.
It's a cool name, but I don't. When I think of Jazz, I'm not thinking of the state of Utah. You know, it doesn't make sense to me that NBA team has the name that it currently has. It would probably be something very mountainous. You know, mountainous. You know, kind of butchy, manly. You know, like the Grizzlies would work. You know, if you wanted to rebrand the Grizzlies into something else. It had the NHL team be the Grizzlies. Kind of like how the Colorado Eagles went from the East Coast League to the AHL for Colorado. I don't know.
I have to research
on what Utah is known more for besides, you know, Salt Lake.
I feel like it has to roll off the tongue, too. Let's see. Salt Lake City Snowbirds?
No, because when you think of snowbird, you think of people who, older people who live in, you know, our area of the country, the Northeast in New England, who fly down to Florida for the winter and then migrate back up home to the Northeast for the spring and summertime. You know,
here we go. This is for Reddit. We're gonna go. Someone could say they could go some sort of railroad theme because of the Union Pacific Railroad.
Okay, that would work.
I'm trying to, let's see. Salt Lake City Shakers.
The Shakers.
I don't know.
Shakers Hockey.
Shakers Hockey, yeah. Salt Lake Salamanders.
No, that makes zero sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
Salamanders.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I mean, because you want, you know, it's got to reflect the city. I feel like the railroad theme would be cool. Because there's only, like, there's no railroad theme type. There's the Worcester Railers in the ECHL.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, I don't know, the Wheeling Nailers, though, aren't really, like, train themed.
Yeah, no. I don't know.
Now I'm curious. I'm going to go railroad hockey team names. Here we go.
Get some pretty interesting ones, I bet.
I did say, actually, I did see that the there's a new team coming to the ECHL next year, the Bison.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a sick logo. Let's see. Salt Lake City Express.
That doesn't feel National Hockey League enough to me. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be like a name that screams, oh, this is a professional sports team.
Yeah.
So this is a problem for the NHL and this new sports group that wants to bring a team there. So
it's just fun trying
have
to
have fun, kiddos.
Yeah, it's just fun trying to brainstorm that type of stuff. But yeah, I'm all for expansion. I think if it's in the right spots, obviously. And hell, if I had $1 billion to buy to bring an NHL team to a city, that'd be awesome. But we move on from here. Dave, I know we've been having the wind taken out of our sails here the past few days with the Flyers, and, you know, we are possibly on the eve, finally, of the release of the Flyers Stadium Series jerseys for the upcoming Stadium Series, again, in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium against the New Jersey Devils. The Flyers are, you know, Flyers fans, I guess, aren't also necessarily alone in this boat, because there's three other teams that we're waiting on jerseys for as well. Multiple sources, you know, were just kind of saying that the jerseys would be released this week, but Thursday, which is tomorrow, was named as the day that, you know, these things would hopefully be released. We have seen a couple designs that we hope are not the ones, because yikes.
They're fucking ugly. I'll just go right out there. Boom. Yeah,
to put it lightly. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. But, like, you know what I mean when I say that teams usually tease these releases?
Yeah, we haven't where, like, seen any teasers.
The Lightning did the same thing with their new, like, Pirate jerseys. We haven't seen jack shit from the Flyers or any of the other three teams that are playing in these games about, like, oh, like, you know, 125, 24, like, be there at 11 a.m., like, something like that. Like, and then it's, like, you know, a hype video for a jersey, which, you know, I'm a sucker for. But anyway, I just wanted to touch on that. You know, we could have finally a jersey watch on our next podcast for the Flyers Stadium Series. There could obviously be, you know, a lot more news surrounding the Flyers. But I'm going to end it tonight with some fun stuff in the world of pop culture. Dave, I know you're a big music guy. I know you're not going to necessarily enjoy this type of music that I'm about to say. We did talk about it on a prior podcast.
So you're referencing Tate McRae. I have done some, as they call, research.
Uh-huh.
And I will say she's got some bangers.
Hell yeah.
I listened to a couple of her songs on the good old YouTube, and I was like, you know what? I get why she's popular with the kids these days. And the fact that she used to date Cole Sillinger, who then cheated on her. Dude, get your priorities in order, my man.
I know it's not a hockey term, but dude, that man fumbled.
Big time.
But, you know, we're going to end things on a light note tonight. If you didn't know, it was announced earlier today, actually, that Tate McRae, who is a Canadian multi-platinum singer-songwriter, you know, she just came out with an album a few weeks ago. She's from Calgary, I believe. And I think her brother plays in one of the minor leagues, I believe. One of the junior leagues, maybe. I think her brother plays some style in a league of hockey. I know that's very general, but Anyway, she was chosen to be the performer, the headliner, for the second intermission performance at this year's NHL All-Star Game, which will be on Saturday, February 3rd. And it will be featured in the game broadcast airing at 3 p.m. Eastern on Sportsnet, CBC, and TVA Sports in Canada, as well as ABC and ESPN Plus in the United States. Per the NHL, McRae, whose single titled The Greedy hit number one 10 times over multiple weeks on SiriusXM's Hits, will also serve as celebrity captain for Team MacKinnon, which will be captained by Colorado Avalanche forward Nathan MacKinnon and Avalanche defenseman Cale Makar as assistant captain. McRae is one of four celebrities. This is so confusing. She's one of four celebrity captains named for the NHL All-Star Game, along with global superstar Justin Bieber, no surprise there, Toronto-born actor Will Arnett, and Grammy Award-winning musician Michael Bublé. So pretty, you know, I like this lineup of, you know, talent, so to speak.
Pardon me. Tate McRae's brother, Tucker McRae, plays for the Oktos Oilers. O-K-O-T-O-K-S. I have never even heard of them, so I'm Googling them right now as we speak as well. They are built Alberta Strong. They're a junior A hockey club.
Yeah. So I think I was going to say, I'm pretty sure her brother plays some sort of hockey.
He plays junior A. Oh, there, it's in the AJHL.
The hell is that?
Some junior A league. Let's see. Where is he? I don't see him on the roster.
Is it Alpha Junior Hockey League? Alberta Junior Hockey League?
I think it's the Alberta Junior Hockey League.
That makes sense.
But I don't even see him on their current roster.
Maybe he's scratched.
That is. Wait, hold on. I'm looking. He's got to have a hockey DB.
While you're looking for that, I'm going to go over some of Tate McRae's stats, if you want to call it that. So, again, she's a Calgary native, and she's become the artist to watch with over 7.8 billion career streams, over 945 million video views, two number one top 40 hits, and multiple number one dance hits. She's received multiple accolades, including nominations for two Billboard Music Awards, an MTV VMA Award, three People's Choice Awards, four iHeartRadio Music Awards, and nine Juno Awards, among others. So, you know, Tate McRae has taken the pop and music culture by storm over the past few weeks, and, you know, she's got bangers, like you said, Dave.
So Tucker McRae is now playing for Dartmouth in the ECAC. He is a defenseman, 22 years old, I believe undrafted.
Oh.
He has currently this year in 13 games played, has one goal, one assist for 2 points, has 8 penalty minutes, and is a minus 10.
Oof.
So I don't think he's gonna go anywhere. You know, I think he's probably gonna, he might be a senior whale shit A star player.
Well, we'll see.
He's gonna be playing with Shorzy in the no show.
Yeah, but you know, anyway, Tate McRae, thumbs up, great music. Hockey,
she's got
fan.
Some bangers. I'm debating adding them onto my wife and I's playlist.
Are you a tater tot?
Is that what her fans are called?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I enjoy tater tots, the food, obviously. but I would not say I am a tater tot, as if I'm a diehard fan of Tate McRae.
I don't think that's what her fans are called. I just wanted to see. Oh, man.
Copyright now, tater tots, Tate McRae.
Tater tot, yeah, she should give me some money for that one. But no, like I said, Dave, it's always fun, you know, to end with something light, funny, fun, all that type of stuff. Because obviously, you know, we had some very heavy stuff to talk about in the beginning of this podcast. But you know, what I'll say before I hand the things over to you to wrap them up for the week is, again, the Flyers are on, you know, a little bit of a skid here. Let's hope it doesn't become an avalanche, no pun intended, But, you know, I think as soon as they right the ship, you know, the sooner the better at this point, especially with the way they've been playing lately. I think, you know, again, they just have to kind of break through, win a game, get their confidence back, and, you know, keep rolling, hopefully. But, you know, it's not the end of the world if they do, you know, go into the All-Star break. You know, you have some time to kind of reset, recoup.
Right the ship, per se.
Yeah, right the ship, you know. So, we've seen them in, again, very much more dire situations than they're in now. So I'm confident in this team that they have the ability to, you know, bounce back, to play for each other, to play for the city, all that type of stuff that they've been doing. And, you know, they're going to right the ship. I'm confident about that. So I'm with this team, you know, through thick and thin. I know you are too, obviously. Well, hell, we've been through a lot of thick, well, and a lot of thin too. So all I'm trying to say is, you know, just let them do their thing and just keep playing their game and it'll come. So,
yep. And
go ahead.
You know, I was just saying, you know, I didn't mean to cut you off there. It looks like you were still rolling.
Nope, you're all good. I'm all finished. So take her away, sir.
I was going to say, you know, as we hear more and the evolving situation with Carter Hart and the scenario with the London Police Department evolves, we will break things as they come on the podcast. Preface that. To all of our listeners, if you're invested in learning more about the situation as we are, check your reliable sources, mainly being Rick Westhead. He seems like he's the one hockey beat reporter that is on this, like, shit on Velcro. So make sure you're really paying attention to what he's reporting. And also, of course, the London and Ontario Police Department is active on social media, and they do plan on broadcasting their press conference on February 5th on their Facebook Live feed. So that'll be something to pay attention to. But with that, again, how I end things on a happy note, if you like what we do and you like how our podcast goes, you should be checking out our affiliates over in the Pod Street Bullies. Again, they are pumping out excellent weekly content. I listened to the episode that I mentioned last week with Jason Martinez. Phenomenal stuff. I need to try about seeing if I can get Jason on our pod because I think that would be a great get. So, Jason, if you're listening, feel free to hop on
the podcast if you keep pronouncing his last name wrong. Martinez.
Martinez. What do I say?
You say it sounds like you're saying Martinez.
Oh, no. Jason Martinez.
There you go.
I just need to enunciate my words better.
Yeah. He can talk about Tate McRae.
Tate McRae.
There you go.
The arsonist has oddly shaped feet.
There you go.
And you're the human torch start, was denied. We're going to have to start doing,
what is it called? Ron Burgundy warm-ups.
Yes. Or the hockey players from Letterkenny. The tip of the tongue, the tip of the tongue, the teeth and lips.
Yeah. We'll have to do some warm-ups here.
Yes. But as I was saying, the Pod Street Bullies, if you like what we do, you'll like what they do. Pumping out excellent weekly content.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, got to appreciate our boy Pottery Hoags giving out a nice shout-out to us on the Twitterverse this evening. Tell everyone to check us out. So appreciate that, Hoags. Check out the Pottery Bullies. Check out Flyers High and Wide. Check out Time My Skates Pod. We're all one big family of interwebbed Flyers podcasts. So a lot of great personalities on there, so check them out. On that note, Dan, thanks everyone. Stay safe, stay healthy, keep on enjoying this new year we're in. We finally got some winter weather, which was great to see. Mm-hmm. Finally, it's been a couple years since that. But with that, hopefully the Flyers can ride the ship here. Two big games for the All-Star break. Let's go, Flyers. Good night and good hockey.